Well, we are in a series right now, just starting, going through the spiritual practices of Jesus, kind of like spiritual disciplines. And that's kind of what we'll be leaning through over the summer, with guest speakers coming on, vacation, all those sort of things. This is kind of what we'll be doing. And so I encourage you to hopefully, as you hear these things, to put them into practice as well, because I think it's really important as we do these things. Now, summer comes upon us. I know that this is a fantastic time to get away and enjoy things and to get out of your normal routine. Hopefully you're able to do that, to get out of the busyness of life. I think it's important to take those timeouts in our life to get away and to kind of remove ourselves from perhaps our workplace, our communities, to catch our breath. And we're hoping also that by the time fall comes, that you don't look back and think, I didn't spend enough time on vacation or refueling my spirit or any of those things. And it gets difficult to do that sometimes, but I encourage you to be able to take a step back this summer and enjoy what the Lord is doing in our lives as well. Because we live in a noisy world. We do. I think we all attest to that. Everywhere you look, there's noise. Whether it's our phones going off, noises of cars around us, people shouting and screaming, our TVs, whatever the case may be, we understand that we have a streaming plethora of information available to us all the time. And it gets noisy. And sometimes it can get quite exhausting to be in the midst of all that noise. And at the same time, it can be exhilarating as well because technology has come so far and there's some really good ideas to explore and some things to do as well and to do those things. But as we have this communications onslaught that we seem to be surrounded by, we have to ask ourselves the question is, how often do we actually spend time away from the noise in times of silence and solitude to be able to reflect and to hear what Jesus is doing in our lives? I think it's an important practice for us to develop in our lives, solitude. It's a good way to recharge our souls. It's a good way to spend time in the scriptures. It's a good way to get away from all the noise. And I think sometimes we don't always want to spend time in solitude because we perhaps have not practiced it. We'd rather much be busier than actually spend time in solitude because we all often say we're all so busy. We all do it. I'm guilty of it as well. And essentially, our value is in our calendar. And whatever is important to us will be on our calendars. You want to see what's a priority for us? Look at our calendars. Then we'll see what's really important to us. As we think about solitude and this idea of being alone, I want us to consider this, though. I want us to not to think about solitude as isolation, because there's a difference between being in solitude and being in isolation. See, when you choose to be in isolation, as we went through a season many years ago with being isolated, and people struggled with being isolated. They were told they had to do X, Y, and Z. And in that isolation, it wasn't healthy. People were cut off from family, from friends. And there was a sense of being lonely in that isolation. And if you've been told to be to do something on your own and you're being forced to do something, that's very different than actually spending time in solitude. Solitude is different because you're making an intentional choice to be away, to be alone, to connect, to be able to do that in such a way where you're actually taking time to reflect and to refill your spirit as well. So there's a difference there. So when you think about being alone or solitude, I don't want you to think about being isolated. I want us to think about being alone with the Lord and spending that time as well. Now, we look at Jesus in his life. He often spent time in solitude. It's what he did. He practiced it on a regular basis. And there's a few scriptures I'm going to go through this morning. And as we consider that today, I hope that we can somehow move the bar a little bit in our own personal lives when it comes to solitude. You know, being in ministry for as long as I've been at, I try to, and I haven't done this recently, unfortunately, and I need to get back to this. I would take a full day every semester, so basically between September and December and January to May, that's why I look at ministry years. I would take a full day in that season and to go away in solitude with my Bible, my journal, with no agenda, and just to kind of reflect. And I haven't done that for all, but it was a great practice when I did it because it really refueled me. It helped me to get away from the noise and to actually spend time with the Lord in a very intentional way. And I didn't have my phone. I didn't have any distractions with me. I brought my Bible. I brought my journal. And there are even times I didn't even open up the scriptures for a few hours. I would just sit and listen and see what the Lord was saying to me. Now, Jesus, in Luke 4, verses 1 to 2, it says this. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. So for some background here, after Jesus was baptized, he spent 40 days praying in the wilderness on his own. And during this time, he was tempted by Satan. And I'm not going to get into all that. I did a sermon on this a while ago, so you can check it up online as too, to see what that's all about. So before Jesus began his public ministry, he was in the wilderness going through different temptations. And that's what he did. He took space to do that. The Holy Spirit met him after, and he walked through the season of being prepared. And sometimes when we think about our lives too, we might be preparing for something that's ahead for us, but we don't know what it is. But how intentional are we taking time to retreat, to pray, to listen, and to fast as well, to consider what the Lord is saying to us? After a hard day of work, Jesus went away as well. Mark 6 says this, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves into a boat to a solitary place. So Jesus is feeding 5,000 people. And now he's saying to the disciples that we need to go away to a solitary place. So after a hard day of ministry, you know, feeding 5,000 people is a lot of work. And to understand that, remember, Jesus was fully God and fully human at the same time, that he went away to rest in a solitary place. And there's nothing wrong with that. And for us, as we consider the hard work we do in our day-to-day, how often do we take time away to recharge our spirits, to be alone with the Lord? And perhaps with other people as well, as we connect in community. When John the Baptist was beheaded in Matthew 14, Jesus, again, during this time, he withdrew and went to a solitary place, reflecting on what was taking place as well. So again, things that were going on in his life. Before Jesus made any important decisions, especially choosing the disciples, Luke 6 tells us this, that early in the morning is what it says. On one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. And when morning came, he called the disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. So here's the Lord, before making important decisions, he goes to be alone in solitude with the Father to grant wisdom, to receive wisdom on choosing the disciples. So if we see Jesus practicing these things, how often should we be practicing these things in our life? How often do we ever take time to put it intentionally in our calendar where we will say, I will spend X amount of time alone with the Lord, and I'll get into that in a few minutes, to what that actually could look like practically for us as well. In times of distress, Jesus went and spent time alone as well. Luke 22 says this, and this is about when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to pray, and he was in great emotional agony. What was he about to face? He's about to go to the cross. And we see in Scripture here, Jesus pouring out what he was going through. This is what it says. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you're not falling into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw away, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. You know what's amazing about these verses? An angel from heaven appeared to him to strengthen him. You know, as Jesus is retreating and going through this time of heaviness in his life, going to the cross, he's sweating blood. That's how much he was feeling. And it's a reminder for us that Jesus himself spent time in solitude. There's times where he was looking to the Father for strength. And how often do we do that? How often do we allow Jesus and God the Father to refill our tanks when we are running on fumes? Are you running on fumes this morning? Are you? Only you know the answer to that question. Perhaps you share that with a loved one, a family or a friend, but you're just running on fumes. You're barely getting by. And perhaps you need to incorporate some alone time with the Lord in a solitude place, in a place away from the noise, a place where you can listen to the small, still voice of God. Because life is exhausting, and it gives us a chance to refocus and to pray and to understand what the Lord is teaching us as well. Again, another day of exhausting ministry. Mark 1 says this, fairly early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You know, it's a beautiful picture. We often talk about spending time in the Word in the morning. And some of us love the morning. Others are mid-afternoon people. Some of us are in the evening when it comes to reading the Bible. I always say to people, it's great if you can do it in the morning because it sets you up for the day. However, if you are the type of person that just can't handle doing it in the morning because you may not be that morning person, there's no guilt in that. There's no condemnation in that. But as long as you're spending time with Jesus somewhere in your day, and that's really, really important. And as Jesus is doing this, he's up early in the morning when it's still dark, and he goes to a place, a solitary place where he prayed. And so as we consider that in our day-to-day, this idea that Jesus often, again, in the midst of crowds, because crowds followed Jesus everywhere. But he was like a rock star that way. Everywhere he went, people followed him. And in the midst of that, imagine being surrounded by people all the time. I know some of you in this room are not people. You can handle people for a certain amount of time, and then you're done. And I get that. But can you imagine being Jesus and you're constantly surrounded by people and all they want from him is heal me, feed me, take care of me, do this for me, do that for me. And Jesus is saying to us that in the midst of our life, when we are busy and there's a lot going on and there's people that are perhaps draining the resources out of us, we need to take a moment to pause and to reflect and to understand that we cannot do this without the Lord's strength. As we consider that today, is this something that you'd be willing to perhaps practice in your life? To make time of solitude important enough of a priority to recharge so we're not doing things on our own, in our own strength, but we're actually spending time with the Lord. So Jesus began his ministry this way. He spent time preparing. He often found time spending time with the Father in prayer. There's some questions for us to consider on the screen just as we continue on the sermon here. When was the last time and the longest time you actually spent time by yourself? Intentionally with the attitude of being in solitude. Perhaps it's driving in your car with the radio off and no music and you're just driving. That's a way of solitude, believe it or not. When was the last time you did that? And what was the longest time you survived doing it without losing your mind? Because some of us can't just sit and be alone. We need to yak, yak, yak. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. And sometimes this takes practice and time. And it's important that we start off slow. We're not going to rip off the Band-Aid in one fell swoop and spend 3 hours alone with Jesus. Maybe you will. But if you start that big, you're probably going to feel like you didn't do so well if you're 3 minutes in and you're done. So I'd encourage you to start small. And if you've done this before, where you spent some time in solitude with the scriptures, listening to the Lord, what were your circumstances that you did that under? Can you think or reflect of a time where you've done that? Perhaps you're younger. Maybe it's an exercise at camp. Maybe you're involved in a ministry, perhaps in a church ministry or with some family and friends. What were your circumstances where you actually took time to spend with the Lord being in solitude? Have you done that? And if you did, when was it? And what did that look like for you? Now, having said that, if you've done this, whether it was for 3 minutes, 3 hours, or 3 days, it doesn't matter. What was the experience like for you? You know, there's retreat centers out there in Alberta that have specific cabins set up in the woods where you can rent it out. There's no power. There's no running water. There's a bed. There's a door. That's it. And you can rent out this place. Kingsfield Retreat Center is one of those places here in Alberta where you can go and intentionally spend time in the woods in complete darkness by a river, and it's absolutely beautiful. And it's people that pay to do this. Any noise I'd hear in the middle of the night, I'd be freaking out because the forest kind of scares me a little bit. However, there's something beautiful about renting a place like that where it's just you and Jesus and nature. No phone, no noise, no running water, no electricity, just hanging out. Now, if you've ever done something like that, I would encourage you, maybe not having to rent a cabin, but if you have a tent, if you have a trailer, you have something like that where you can actually go and spend some time to do that. Again, if you've done this, what was your experience like? A couple more things to consider. Now, given the choice, if we're going to be spending time alone, would you much rather have noise in the background running, like white noise machines, or can you actually get away and spend time alone without the noise in the background? Because I think so many of us are so addicted to the things around us. Now, let's be honest. One of those things is our phones. Awkward pause. All of us, I think. Maybe not all of us. I'm going to make a blanket statement there, but I'm going to suggest that many of us struggle and are addicted to our phones. How long can you go without being with your phone? How long can you go without being with technology? How long can you go without being near TV? When's the last time you've gone a period without checking your Facebook and seeing how many likes you've gotten and see how many pictures people have approved of yours? Those are hard things to say, right? But if we're honest, I think those things give us a buzz, and research has shown, all the research has shown that our social media platforms are causing more depression, more anxiety, including our phones, more than any other time in our life. Think about that for a second. So if we were thinking about being solitude and in silence, I think one of the hardest things we're going to give up is our phone. So when was the last time you went for a period of time without being on your phone? I'm not talking about when you go to sleep and you go to bed and the phone, I went 8 hours without looking at my phone. But how many times is our phone right beside us on our bedside? And we get up and the first thing we do, check our phones. So I'm telling you this because these things can distract us from wanting to be alone with the Lord, because these things sometimes can be more important to us, whatever it may be. It could be a phone. It could be a person. It could be a lot of things that keep us from actually wanting to spend time with the Lord. I understand noise is good, but there's something beautiful about being in solitude. It's a challenge, it's tricky to do, but how often can you do it, and are you willing to do it without feeling anxious? Now, let's say you decided to do it, and you put your phone across the room for a second, and you know the Pavlov's dog thing, when the bell goes off, the dogs pant. When you hear the bell go off and your phone across the room, are you willing to be okay with that, or do you need to get up? You hear that beep, or whatever ringtone you have, or whatever noise it makes, you hear that, and you're thinking, uh-oh, who's that from? I better go look at it. See, if we go to the forest, if we go be on our own, we have to say no to that stuff for a moment, whether it's 15 minutes, half an hour. And if we can't do that, there's bigger questions we have to ask ourselves. Is why does this have such a grip on me? So a couple things to consider as we do this. To encourage you in this, if you've never done this before, you can find a quiet place. It could be your house. Find a comfy chair, sit in it, in the living room. It could be in the morning. It could be in the evening. It doesn't matter. But find an empty place, a quiet place where you can sit. And it can be in your house. It can be in the woods. It can be in the garden. It doesn't matter. But there's something intentional about you doing it. And as Jesus did, spending time in solitary places alone, that's what we do. When we were living in Ontario, when we were pastoring out there, we lived in a beautiful part of Ontario. We were very close to Lake Erie. And one of my favorite spots in the world was the marina. It was a place where it overlooked Lake Erie, and boats launched from there. It was a beautiful landscape. And there's benches set up, and you could walk onto the pier. You could watch boats launch off. There's places where you could sit in quietness and watch the animals. I used to go there every single week and just sit on the bench. I would journal, I would read, I would pray, I would watch people. But in the midst of it, it was quiet, it was pristine, it was absolutely beautiful. I miss that place dearly. I have often shared that with my family. I miss that place dearly. Because when I was on my way there, every single time, my body automatically knew I was going into solitude mode. I was preparing my heart for it. It was fantastic. It was a beautiful thing. So we need to practice these things. We need to take time to be present with the Lord, but we have to be intentional as well. Yesterday we had a men's event, and we had a pretty decent turnout, and we met in an acreage, and we met together as a group, and we walked through the prayers of ACT together, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication first. We started off that way, and I asked the men to go for a walk, go spend some time in the woods, and gave him some a worksheet to go through as well. And so about 45 minutes, they went away, we came back and debriefed, had some lunch, and it was a really good experience. And a couple of things that I asked the men for some thoughts on what they had experienced. And here's a couple of things a couple of guys had said yesterday. Something that always makes me happy is just going out and enjoying creation, looking at animals and trees and plants and knowing God made all of this for us. But it's a place where you've gotten some clarity, and being alone in nature and God is good for me. That was one person's experience. Somebody else had said, I enjoyed hearing about how other childhoods helped shape them into who they are today. The list of attributes was both challenging because it reminded me of the growth still needed, as well as my encouraging to see the positives in my character. I enjoyed a small group and the venue was perfect. So there's some grown men who were told to go spend some time alone with Jesus. And they came back and it sounded like a really positive experience. And the hope is that this will be a regular thing for them. Now, as we think about being alone with the Lord, we start by searching our hearts as well. King David prayed this in Psalm 139. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. That's powerful when you think about that. Search me, O God. When was the last time, with great intent and humility and honesty, you actually asked the Lord to search your heart, to search me, to look depth within who you are into the dark recesses of your soul? See, when you say searching, that means there's an intentional act to find something. When a search party goes out to find someone, their goal is to retrieve that person. When Jesus searches our hearts, and it says here, know my heart and test me and know my anxious thoughts. So when we allow Jesus to search us, he sees every nook and cranny of crevice of our heart, the stuff that we're anxious about, the stuff that we know we're doing that is wrong, but we don't want to shine a spotlight to it. We'd much rather keep it deep down inside. But we know that Jesus can search our hearts. And what does it say clearly in here? If there's any offensive way in me. So let's be honest. I think every single one of us has had an offensive way. How willing and open are we willing to ask Jesus to search our hearts on a regular basis? And what does it say? It leads me into the way of everlasting. Do you see the order of events there? Search me. Test me. Seek my anxious thoughts, whatever else is going on. And the beautiful part at the end of this equation, it leads us to the way of everlasting. This is why Jesus did what he did. Not because he had sinned, because he didn't. But he did these things to show us that we, as flawed human beings, broken, that we need to spend time with the Lord in quietness and solitude. And we start out small. To let the Lord search our hearts and our minds so we can learn and show other people what we're doing. Now, as we think about this morning, and we consider this too, when we do these things, I think it's an important exercise because it sets off an example to other people too. See, I want my kids to see that I practice solitude, that I practice prayer, that I read the scriptures, that I journal, that I confess my sins, that I ask for forgiveness. I want my kids to know that. I want my family and friends to know that. And when we do these things by lead by example, our kids can see these things, our friends can see these things, and they're seeing we're being intentional. Because if all we do is say, I go to church, I'm a Christian, but if we're not leading by example and doing it in a way that's drawing people to Jesus, then I think something's missing. And leading by example doesn't mean you have it all together. It means that you can share your hearts and confess our brokenness. That we think about that, that we recognize that we need to do this on a regular basis. Now, what does it look like practically for you today? What is it this summer that you will invest in? And is one of those things yourself? Are you willing to invest in yourself to spend time in solitude with intent, with no agenda, but coming with this open spirit? Do you crave that? See, I think these things matter because we have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, what do these things do for Jesus? What is it about silence that perhaps feels very noisy to us? Consider that this morning and ask yourself the question, what's it like to be alone with yourself? What's that really like? Maybe you don't want to hear what you're supposed to hear. Ever thought about that? We're so busy that we don't want to stop because of what we might hear and what Jesus might be saying to us. See, Jesus comes in a small, still voice. And if we're so running in different directions in chaos, he can still speak through the noise. I understand that. But when we take intentional time to spend time with the Lord, he will share things with us. He will speak with us. Do you desire that? I hope you do. Now, sometimes when Jesus shows us stuff, it's not easy, amen? It's hard. It's very hard. But I'd much rather have a hard lesson from Jesus now on this earth as I am today than learn that hard lesson when I stand in front of him in judgment. That's how we have to look at it. Going to wrap this up pretty quick here. So spiritual growth, spiritual disciplines, as we think about that. See, the more we do these things, the more they will become a habit for us. It's a part of who we are. And I want to share this too. Like, there is no pass or fail when it comes to being in solitude. Well, I only did it for so long. I only did it once a year. There's no fail or pass. The whole idea behind it is, are you intentional enough to try it, to give it a shot? What if you as a family decided, you know what? This month on this day, we're going to meet in our backyard, and for the next half an hour, you're going to go this way, you're going to go this way, you're going to go that way, you're going to go this way. Take your Bible. Here's a question to consider, and let's regroup and chat of what you all learned. Now, in the midst of that, you might think, wow, that's a lot of work. Well, it is. But spiritual formation and discipleship and growth takes intentionality. We have to be intentional. It's just not going to happen. or other people will raise our kids for us. And by the time we realize, it's too late. And it also gives us an opportunity to hopefully understand our children better and our friends and our family. Now, speaking to parents real quick, I'm a parent. And I don't have the American Idol syndrome when it comes to my children. Meaning, I know my kids are flawed. I know my kids are broken. Because they know I'm flawed and broken. But I think sometimes what happens as parents, we don't want to slow down and find out what's really going on with our kids. Because we think our kids are perfect. They can't do no wrong. And often we'll blame others for our kids' challenges versus looking at our own kids' hearts. But to get there, I think spending time in solitude will help. Because when that conviction comes from Jesus, you're hoping those kids and your friends and your family will come to a space where they'll be able to share those things and realize there needs to be things that have to be addressed. Now, as I wrap this up, I want us to consider this too. See, the business world and this world we live in, they talk about this stuff all the time. And I'm not saying the church is the same as the business world, because it's not. But I will say this. What's the point of hustling if we're going in the wrong direction? What's the point of chasing the dollar if we're going in the wrong direction? What's the point of having a reputation that man looks upon and says, oh, you're amazing, but deep down in our hearts, we know we're broken, broken people. See, it's like running on a treadmill. We're running and we're running and we're running, but we're going nowhere. Sure, the miles might accumulate on the pedometer. You just watch it, but you're not going anywhere, are you? And I think in this life that we live in, if we are not willing to practice spiritual disciplines like Jesus did, if we don't have spiritual formation, which takes repetition, 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 if we do not slow down, if we do not take in the flowers with Jesus, this life will pass us by. And we will have many regrets when it comes to our spiritual walk with Jesus. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. I hope that's true for you. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we have it all together. It means that we are going to be intentional to understand this, that we're walking with Christ. My last thing, my daughter has turned 15 recently. Mercy, 15. Whew. It's so odd when she drives right now. I'm sitting beside her. I'm like, what is going on? It feels surreal. And we went for a coffee date, and we do this on a semi-regular basis, and we were talking. And I said to her, and we have some great conversations. I'm very grateful for the relationship I have with my kids. And we talked about faith and where she's at and all these things. And you can ask my kids this. The thing, the mantra I share with them, no matter anything else, is the mantra I always share with them. I don't care what you do with your job, but please know this. The most important decision, the only thing that matters in this life, is Jesus and your relationship with him. I will let you down. Your friends are going to let you down. Your family's going to let you down. But if you can make sure that you and Jesus are tight, and this is what I said to her, that everything else is gravy. Because that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And in order for us to get there, we have to spend time with the Lord. And this is a great practice. So friends, if you want to talk more about this or what this could look like for you practically or help you encourage this habit in your life, I'm more than willing to have this conversation. And I encourage you to do this. In July, we'll be doing some prayer walks in the evenings. And those dates will be coming out soon. It'll be Wednesday evenings. And part of that journey will be sometime in solitude as well. So look for those dates. But in between time, would you take some time in your life to practice some solitude? Start small. Take some bite-sized pieces. Allow Jesus to speak to you. Come in the brokenness of who you are and who I am and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us so we become more like him as we stumble towards heaven every single day. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the practices that we see in the scripture. I thank you, Jesus, that you spent intentional time with the Father. And I pray that we'd learn those things, that we would come as we prepare for ministry, as we prepare for work, as we prepare for big decisions in our life, that we would go to a place where we could hear from you. I pray this is not overwhelming for us, but this is exciting. This is something we get to do. We don't have to do it. We get to do it. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd give us wisdom on how to make this a practice in our life, even today. I pray against the distractions of this world, the distractions of our phones, these things that anchor us down and hold us hostage in this world. So, Lord, thank you for each person here today. Thank you for those watching online as well. And I pray, Lord, that we would have joy in this understanding of solitude. That it would not be about isolating ourselves, Lord, but it would be about connecting with you to recharge our souls, to recharge our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.